2 Timothy 4:1. 2 Timothy 4:1. Thank you for coming this Tuesday night, busy time of the year, but just never too busy to set aside the time that we need to go to church. Thank you for coming on this Tuesday night. Paul, an old man, a scarred man, a not seeing very good man, probably not feeling too good. There's something in him he knows he's going. You know how people, you know, when they go, you're like, well, they knew they were going. And I told anybody, but they left a trail behind that says, I knew I was going. And he knows he's going. And so he talks to his young convert, and this is what he said, I charge thee. I'm dying. You're young. I'm going to charge you. And I'm going to want you to run when I'm dead. I charge thee before God. Now, I'm not just doing this on my own. I got to charge myself. I'm charging thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick. Say quick. And the dead. Say dead. At his appearing and his kingdom. I want to talk to you a little while in our life application Bible study tonight, taking charge of your life. Taking a charge, if you will, of your life. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together and us mingle together our voices and lift them up corporately to you and sing songs of Zion and redemption. For Lord, the redeemed of the Lord are the only ones that can say so. And we're thankful, Lord, that you redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, again, never let us forget our testimony. That's how we're made an overcomer, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This word charge can be a noun and be a verb, but it basically it has this common root of meaning being able to take a load, or a burden, or the pressure, the current. I'm sure anybody here not have a cell phone. I mean, you know, if you have a cell phone, you didn't pick it up at the store and never charge it, right? If you did, well, he borrows yours, right? You don't have a cell phone? It's never charged. Don't call Brother Artie, call Sister Artie. Okay. And so if you don't charge it, it's going to run out. It's going to be dead. I have a deer camera and some deer, I don't get to shoot with a gun. I just shoot them with a camera, you know, and I just shoot them, look at them like that and say, I gotcha, you know. And so, but it has like 6 batteries in it. And I'm like, I put new batteries in that thing. And it says that battery's low and all this kind of stuff. And I said, that's crazy. So rather than throwing them all away, I got out the little thing you test it with. And I went to the first one, good, good, you know. I went through about 4 of them, good. And I went to that one, ooh. See, these were all quick. That one was dead. They're all alive. You see, he's the judge of the good and the dead. And so I had to judge, you see, of the quick and the dead. It's already good teaching, ain't it? I had to judge, be the judge. Do I keep this one? Can I revive it? Can I recharge this one? Or is it history? And that one was history. And the reason it's history, because it was draining the other 5 batteries. I'm talking about taking charge of your life. And if you're not careful, you can be hooked up with one dead man, one dead battery, one person that God's not talking to, and drain you. One person out of your life. You might have 5 other good ones around you that uplift you. That one person, that camera would not work because it had one dead battery. Couldn't charge it. And so I'm talking to you about taking charge of your life. I got rid of that battery. I got me another friend to make the circuit complete. And now it says they're all good. I'm taking pictures right now, dear. Probably don't even know it. Genesis 26:4. Watch what he tells Abraham. You probably never noticed this, and I didn't either until I began to study this. Isaac has kind of now got the blessing that Abraham had. And you know how he got it? He got the charge. Abraham got the first charge, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He didn't start with Jacob. He didn't start with Isaac. He started with Abraham. And so now he's living off of Abraham's charge. And so what you find is there's a passing of the charge. So that Abraham, they would all, you remember anytime the old patriarchs would die, they'd draw all their kids in, I'll charge you. You know, and he would give him the charge. And David was getting ready to die, he charged Solomon, right? And we have Paul we're going to talk about. He's getting ready to die, and he's going to charge Timothy. Who are you going to charge? See, if I let my mama that makes, say, great chicken and dumplings, and I don't get the recipe from her, it dies with her. But if I get it out of her, then I'm charged. I got that. I received that. I accept that. And you know what? I need to pass that on to the next generation and charge them so that we keep the current going. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven and will give unto thy seed all these countries. Now, this is to Isaac he's saying it, but it's the same thing he said to Abraham. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because that Abraham, somebody's got to start obeying the word of the Lord. Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge. Woo! He kept my charge. I lit him up one night. He said, how am I going to know that I'm going to be the father of many nations when I'm struggling to have one? I don't even have one, and you're telling me I'm going to be the father of many nations. How is that going to be? And he said, come on, I'll charge you. Come on out here. You see them stars up there? Now, what I like about this sign is it wasn't a miracle. See, all y'all are looking for miracles. I'm just being facetious. We're always looking for a miracle. Give me a miracle. Give me a sign. He didn't make up anything new. He said, look at this. You've seen this 1,000 times. Now I'm going to show you something. Listen to my voice. You see those stars up there? Can you number them? No, Lord, that's how your seed's going to be. Now you see that dirt you've been working? This was no miracle. Too many people looking for miracles. And look at that dirt. Can you number the grains of sand? No, Lord, I guess so shall thy seed be. He just took what he already had and made him aware. Now every time he saw that, guess what? He got a charge. And every time he saw my seed's going to be like that, my seed's going to be like that. And so he kept this charge that the Lord gave him and my commandments and my statutes and my laws. He kept these things. But he not only kept them, he passed them to his son, Isaac. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, he kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws. And I want to talk about you tonight, accepting the charge from God. Somebody's got to start the charge. Somebody's got to say, charge. And it's funny how people, if you ask people, who wants to be in charge of the basketball team? Oh, me. Who wants to be in charge of the weed eater? And people that are in charge want to be in charge because they want to tell people what to do. Now, come on. People want to be, you may be silent, but everybody wants to be in charge. But when something goes wrong, I'm not in charge. That woman you gave me, Lord, I was never in charge of the garden. She was. And all of a sudden you find people don't want to take charge anymore once something goes wrong. And when you look at as long as Cain and Abel were together, I just believe they were partners. They were brothers. I just believe, you see, the Bible says that Abel was a keeper of sheep and that Cain tilled the land. He had a field. So if you got a field and I got sheep, partner, right? We can work together. But they didn't work together once the Lord said, give me a sacrifice, or they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, although the Bible said he asked for one, but they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord had respect unto Cain's sacrifice, but unto Abel's sacrifice, but unto Cain's he had no respect. So I just imagine many, many times, Brother Valentine, the Lord would walk into the field of Cain and say, where's Abel? He said, oh, he's over there on the other side of the field. He's tending to a sheep over there. He's taking him to the water hole. Another time he comes, where's Abel at? Well, he's at mom's house and dad's house. He'll be out here after a while, Lord, if you want to talk to him. But today, he's missing. Where is Abel, thy brother? He said, I'm not in charge. I'm not in charge. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, all the other days you were, you knew where he was at. And it's amazing to me how that when people don't want to take charge, they start hiding things. I'm talking about you taking charge of your life. Quit hiding things and just take charge of it. Take ownership of it. Yeah, I messed up. That's what I did. I messed up. Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I messed up. Take charge of it and admit your shortcomings and your the things that you don't maybe want to admit, but you're in charge of your life, right? I mean, who's not? Anybody else in charge of your life? You make your own decisions, right? You came here tonight. You're in charge. Now, my mom and dad was in charge of me until a certain point, but then I became in charge of myself. But their charge rubbed off on me, and I got their charge. You see where I'm going with this tonight? And so what we find is when you know, it's amazing that Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they hid their bodies, right? Among the trees of the garden. When Cain killed Abel, he hid his body. Cain didn't hide. He hid Abel. The problem was Adam and Eve didn't have anything to hide. So they hid themselves. Can I show you something? We got time tonight. We got time, right? Okay, good. Let me show you something. Because I've said this. I don't think anybody would be lost because I said this. But I've always thought, you know, how AT&T says, let your fingers do the walking, you know? And I've always kind of thought that it was, it said the voice of the Lord walking in the, I thought the voice of the Lord was walking. I don't see it that way anymore. Let's go to Genesis 3 and 7. Let's start there. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God. Now, I'm going to pause right there just a second. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I want to tell you who was walking was them. Voices don't walk. And I'll show you that in the next couple of verses. It'll verify that. So who was walking was them. I heard the Lord God, and you could might get, and I'm not trying to add anything to the word, but you know, this is a translation here, while walking in the garden. Okay? They heard the voice of the Lord, and it's going to make sense when I tell you this, while walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That's when you walk in the garden. A voice don't need the cool of the day. The God was a spirit. He was not a person. He doesn't heat mean nothing to him. And Adam and Eve hid themselves. Why? Because they were walking in the garden. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden because that's where they were walking. And the Lord God called. Hello. And he called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. See? I heard it out there. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So take that and run with it. And so what we find is that we always want to cover up things and hide things and not take charge or responsibility. When they heard the voice as they were walking, they said, let's get behind this tree. They did not want to take responsibility for their mistake. If the voice had not shown up, they'd have kept on walking. And so it is with a lot of people. They got to get caught, so to speak, to take charge of their responsibility. And sometimes being caught is the best thing that ever happened. And so I'm glad that Christ accepted the charge in the garden the night he was betrayed. Not that he had done wrong, but the Bible said he must die as sin, but yet he knew no sin. And he was a man too, you know, and he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this thing pass from me. Three times he's prayed. The Bible says he went and prayed again the same prayer, the Bible says, three times. And then he said, Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He took the charge, hear me tonight, of your sins. He took the responsibility of your sins and put it on himself. So much so that when Stephen received the Holy Ghost, they go to stone him and gnashing with their teeth upon him. And as he bowed down on his knees, he looked up to heaven and he saw Christ or Jesus on the right hand of God. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit and lay not this sin to their charge. Because he knew who could take care of that sin. God takes charge of your sin. All you got to do is transfer it to him. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Transfer what the Satan has put on you, the debt and the guilt and the shame. He said he died outside the camp as an open shame to take charge of your sins. Don't be ashamed when you mess up. Because you got a God and a Father who forgives. Paul said that a whole dispensation of the gospel, he's charged with it. He said, I'm a debtor to them. That's been passed to me. Now, I'm in debt to preach to these folks. And it's easy sometimes for a battery to keep its charge as long as there's no load on it. I'm going someplace tonight. It's easy. This battery, it probably says on here, let me see. It says on here, good till 2018. My God, it's dead now. You know why? I've been using it. 2018. Don't take anything out of me, and I'll be a Christian till 2018. But if you mess with me, I might lose my charge. I've heard people say, I'm going to set my Holy Ghost aside here just for a minute. I'll pick it up later. Well, no, you done lost your charge before you said that. It doesn't work that way. And so we've got to realize that Paul comes under this huge load, and some of you do too, but I'm glad he gives us these writings of all the things that Paul went through so you can say, man, I'm not going through nothing. He called it light afflictions. And what you're going through, I'm barely going to make it. Y'all pray for me. Lord, they're going to cut my electricity off. He didn't even have electricity. Too cut off. I've noticed that people will lose everything they got, but the last thing to go is the cell phone. You ever notice that? Take air, take my rent, take my budget. I'm going to bless God. I'm going to steal Facebook. This old, battle-scarred warrior got hooked up with a young man called Timothy that he converted, who was charged and zealous to do things in the world. And he said, if I could just charge him to do things for Christ. I've noticed that people that were charged up in the world, they come to God and they really get God. Boy, they're charged up living for God. You give me somebody that's like, then they get in the church. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, well, God, what you want me to do? God, I'm still trying to find my purpose. Where's the charge? The Lord told Zerubbabel, said, you're going to rebuild the wall, but it's not going to be by your might or your power, but by my zeal, by my charge, saith the Lord, by my spirit. The zeal of the Lord shall perform it. Now, let's get to this real quick tonight. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee. I could have charged Apollos. I could have charged somebody else. I could have charged John Mark. I would have charged Demas, but he hath left me, having loved this present world. But here you are. You're still here taking care of me. So I charge thee. Therefore, I'm telling you, I'm not just doing it to do it. I'm doing it before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. How judge those that are charged and those that aren't charged. Those that are living and those that are dead at his appearing. Those that can take the load and those that can't take the load. Those that had it and got drained, the dead, or those that can take the charge and get recharged and let's go it again. Yeah, they hurt me at that church. Big deal. I'm going to another church. I'm just going to live for God no matter what. I'm going to be an overcomer one way or another. So he said, I charge you to preach the word. preach the word. I charge you to be instant in season and out of season. When you feel good and you don't feel good. Have I ever got up here and told y'all, well, I don't feel good tonight, so I'm just going to preach a half-hearted message? No. Lord, no. I tell my wife that when I get back in the car. I thank God he's given me great health. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, and do it like this. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, but do it with all long-suffering and with doctrine. Don't make up some stuff. Just do it the way that's supposed to be done. Now watch, he starts talking now about time. It's because he's running out of what? And some of y'all are running out of time. I will be 59 in a few days. I like things from Academy and Target. And I've shopped there. He said, for the time will come. Now, here's what he's telling him. Now, y'all listen to this. This is good. He says, I'm not going to be here, but I'm going to charge you. Because there's coming a time. I won't be here, but I want you to be ready. So I'm going to give you what God gave me. I've made it through all these years, and you can too. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I think we're here today. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Just teach us what we want to hear. And if you teach too hard, we'll go some other place. That time's here. I told my wife coming over here, we were passing cars. I said, you know, we've passed thousands of people. And we're going to come to an assembly here where there'll just be a few little people dotted out here who really are the children of God. And these others are just going about in life, not caring anything about. That time has come, my brothers and sisters. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. I mean, they'll call evil good and good evil, the Bible says. They don't want the truth. Preach me something that makes me feel good. Preach me something that prospers. Preach me that prosperity message every time you get there. That life is good and great and all this kind of stuff when I never felt so low in all my life. Give me something that will, like David said, the lifter up of my head. They'll turn away their ears from the truth and turn unto fables, fake things, false doctrine. But watch thou in all things endure. Now, this is an old warrior here. He told him in another place, take adversity as a good soldier. Say, yes, sir. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make not F-O-O-L proof your ministry. F-U-L-L. Make full proof. Don't leave anything undone. Don't leave anything for the enemy to come in and say, aha. Because I'm here to tell you, there are people that want to catch a minister in one thing, just like they did Jesus. The Pharisees could have got him on one thing that had discredited his whole ministry. And that's what all the world and people, the enemy seeks to kill, to steal, and destroy. If people could find one thing wrong with you, Timothy, they'll disprove the whole thing. Make full proof your ministry. That's why he told him, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Keep it far away from you because it's called many to err from the truth. Many people started out right, but the money got good. And they started getting bad. Now watch this. He's talking about three things here. He's talking about the present, the past, and he's going to talk about the future. In verse 6, for I am. That's that present. I am. I may have been through a lot, but I am. I am now. I wasn't ready back then. That's why some of you are still here. You're not ready yet. Enoch walked with the Lord, and he must have been ready because he was not. But some of us are here till we're ready. He said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I know that my days are short. I'm at the end of my race. But I wasn't ready back then, but I am ready now. There was a time, he said, I wanted to leave because affliction was so hard. But I got to thinking, would it be better for me to be here with you, or I'm caught between a twixt, he said. To live with you would probably be more profitable to the gospel than to me to go on with Christ. But to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So I'm just caught between the two, but now I'm not. I'm not caught anymore because I'm charging you. I got you. Now, that was the present. I am ready. Then he reflects back on the past. He said, I have. Okay? We've gone from I am to I have. I have fought. Oh, I want to teach you something tonight. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have passed. I finished my course. There's nothing left. I have. That's the past. I have kept. I let loose of a lot of things, but there's one thing I still have. I kept the faith. And it's interesting that Paul said in one of his writings, he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against rulers of darkness and of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. For though we walk in the flesh, he said, we do not war against the flesh. But yet he said, I fought. It looks almost contradictory. He says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but I fought. Watch. Because he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So what did he fight? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bring it into captivity through the obedience unto Christ. Then after saying all of this, I fought a good fight. What he fought was hunger. He didn't fight people. He fought the spirit in the people. You need to quit fighting people. Y'all need to listen. Quit fighting people. And fight the spirit of the people. But he didn't fight it with words, and he didn't fight it with enough. They beat me at rods, I'll beat them with rods. No. I pray for them that despitefully use me. He said, I fought a good fight. See, that's the good fight. That other fighting is not a good fight. That's dirty fighting. That's not righteous. Woo! Y'all might not want to come back on Tuesday anymore. Yesterday, y'all been coming on Tuesday nights. You're going to find this is where the rubber meets the road here. Hallelujah. But somehow I feel like y'all are with us. So he talks about this fighting thing. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but yet I'm fighting. But he was fighting to keep the faith. Oh, there it is. See, I fought hunger, I fought nakedness, I fought perils. Brother Valentine read perils. I even fought perils of my own brethren. Anybody ever fought your own brethren? Yeah, that's the best, hardest fight I ever been in. And so he said, I was beat by rods this many times. I got this many stripes, saved one, and I was shipwrecked three times in the deep of night and the day and all these things. But my fight was to keep the faith because that can drain you. It can drain you. But the Bible says they left him for dead. He got some kind of charge overnight and he walked back into the city and preached the gospel. Somebody kept him charged. Somebody said, Paul, get up. Let's go, boy. For my gospel's sake, I'll show you what you're going to suffer for my name's sake, but I'll keep you charged. Whoo, my Lord. And Paul turned out to be a wonderful teacher and preacher. Amen. And even while he would preach and he'd teach at the end, he said, I fear lest I lose my charge and be a castaway. Because he's going to be a judge of the quick and the dead. I got to stay lively till the day I go. But he wasn't fighting them, my brothers and sisters. He was fighting the principalities and the powers and the spiritual things that he was fighting. He didn't take rods and beat them back. And you can't do it either, my brothers and sisters. But the real fight is to keep the faith. I may lose my job, I'm going to keep the faith. I may even lose my spouse. Hello? But I'm going to keep the faith. I may lose, somebody may be lying against me, somebody may, I may be in the pit, but I'm going to keep my faith. I had a dream. I'm going to hold on to that dream right there. I'm holding on to that dream. I may be in the pit. I may be in the dungeon. I may be betrayed, but I'm going to keep the faith. So the fight is to keep the faith. For all he went through, he could have said, "Fooey on this stuff." But he kept the faith. He said in one place, he said, "I fought the beast of Ephesus." I fought that too, just another city. But I fought the beast of Ephesus. Everybody fought the beast. Every day you get up, you're fighting the beast. It's man. He said, "I fought Alexander the coppersmith. He did me much harm. But I kept the faith. I didn't return unto him what he did to me." See, I didn't fight like that. That's not a good fight. You know, when two boxers come out, Brother Valentine, you ever seen that? And they'll say sometimes, "There's none of this, and there's none of this, and there's none of this." They tell them, you can't fight like that. And if they punch the wrong place, stop, that's not a good fight. He said, "I did it clean. I did a good fight. I fought principalities. I fought powers. I fought rulers of darkness. I fought these things. I didn't fight them." And I'm going to close. I'm running out of time. So he went from "I'm ready now," the present, and he said, "I fought a good fight, finished my course, the past, I'm ready now to be offered," and all this, the past. And then he goes into verse 8, the future. Henceforth. Woo, hallelujah. You get to that end and you say, henceforth. Henceforth means from now on. From now on. I've reached the state of now on. Hallelujah, that's that everlasting. I've gone from my past and the present. I'm ready now. I'm ready now. I'm ready now. Take me now, Lord. And henceforth, there is laid up for me. Anybody got thing laid up? I'm telling you, you better have something laid up. You're going to get up there. For a man's, where a man's treasure is, there his heart is also. Where's your treasure? You better have something laid up. I don't want to get there and have a little bitty crown. No matter how big your crown is, the Bible says that those 40 elders are going to take that crown off and throw it at the feet of Jesus. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord. Now watch. The righteous judge. What did he start off telling him? "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing." And now he's finishing his course. And he said, "Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, I'm now before the judge, who shall give me at that day." I'm still the quick. I'm still the quick. I'm still alive. I'm still passing it on to somebody, giving it to somebody else. I want to charge that little boy over there. He got the charge Sunday morning. And not only me, thank God for that, but for all them that love. See, Adam and Eve couldn't love his appearing. Cain couldn't love his appearing because they weren't charged full of his spirit. But I'm telling you, if you love God, he is quick, the Bible says, to forgive us of our sins. And then you're ready to see him and meet him. So Timothy, listen, son. Listen, I want to tell you, I'm charging you to carry on. And I'll close with this verse, 1 Timothy 8, 1 and 18. "This charge," see, he spoke to him twice about this charge, "I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war." Another good warfare. As they come tonight, see, "thou mightest war a good warfare." And I'm charging you according to the prophecies which went, you know, prophecies go before you. Last time I checked, the prophecies that went, how many prophecies do you have before you? I can tell you, Brother and Sister Valentine, when I went through a very, very, very dark time one time, if it hadn't been for prophecy, I wouldn't have made it. I felt like I wouldn't have made it. But it charged me. And I'll never forget the night I got the charge. And the man of God said, "You'll reap if you faint not. If you don't let the charge go out, God can use you. But once you're dead, honey, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You won't hold a charge. I charge you, but you won't hold it. And the man said that night, the Lord, someone told a lady to tell me, said, I'm telling you this night, God's going to tell you what you need to do. This night. It was on a Sunday morning, Saturday night when she told me that, told my wife that. I went to church that Sunday morning. I listened to every word that man said. I didn't hear anything. I went back that night expecting. And he preached that whole sermon. I didn't hear anything. He closed the book. And he turned around. And he told the pastor he was through. And he stopped just like that. And he turned around. He said, the Lord told me to tell somebody that you're thinking about throwing in the towel and you're thinking about quitting. But the Lord told me to tell you you'll reap if you faint not. If you just don't lose your charge. It may just be a little dim thing, but just take the charge. Take the charge. I charged thee, and I took that, and it kept me alive for about 5 years. But 5 years, I needed another charge. It wasn't going to last forever. And so I told my wife one night, this same guy was preaching in another town, another city, another state. And I told her, I need to know. I said, I'm getting in my vehicle, I'm driving. Brother, I drove and got there. It was so many people there, I don't think he knew I was in the crowd. Can I tell you what happened that night? He preached his sermon. He turned around. Stopped in his tracks. He went back. He said, the Lord told me to give somebody this scripture. And it was this one. He said, you need to hear this. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou mayest war a good warfare. Holding faith. See, Paul said, I kept what? Yeah, I kept the faith. Holding faith. And a good conscience. Don't do anything that would make you have a bad conscience and say, boy, I wish I hadn't have done that. Maybe the Lord can't use me now. Which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Can't use them anymore. Of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. He said, I've taken those people that were draining me and gave them to the devil. I put them in charge of the devil. I let the devil have charge of them. That's what he said. And I'm here to tell maybe somebody tonight, take charge of your life. That's why he said, preach the word. I'm telling you, a song may charge you, but I'm telling you it won't last till you get outside those doors and before long them goosebumps you had to go. They're good, but that's a quick charge. But I'm here to tell you, he said, preach the word. And when you preach the word, brother, the word is everlasting. Amen. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word's going to abide forever. I'm telling you, when that word charges you, let me tell you, you charge. You can keep your charge too, because it says it right here. So tonight, don't lose your charge. Don't lose your charge. Don't get so low that before you get hooked up. All a battery charger does, it transfers that charge that's in that wall and it puts it in that battery so it can be used again. And Paul said, I've been used up. One place he said, I've been spent. And more gladly would spend it again. That's what he said. But now, brother, I'm charging you. And he gave him Timothy. He said, hey, boy, don't think you can't do it because it was your grandma had it and your mama Lois had it. And all you need to do is a good charging. All you need to stir that thing up that's already, is that battery's already got it in there. But you got, well, you know what that does? It stirs it up inside, brother. That's what it does. It stirs it up and recharges it. You ever felt of a battery under charge? It gets hot. Get hot if you want to, but you'll cool off. Hallelujah. I got to go, but I'm so thankful that I listen to the word of the Lord. You can't go wrong. He said, war a good warfare by the prophecies that's prophesied over you. Don't give up. Fight a clean fight, y'all. That dirty fighting don't work. Fight a clean fight. Be who you say you are. Somebody said, well, practice what you preach. I preach what I practice. That's what I do. If I can't practice it, I'm not going to preach it. Hallelujah. Say that? Well, I appreciate that. I love y'all, all of y'all. Great time of the year, but don't forget the Lord and all that He's done for you. You see a homeless person, you just say, that could be me. Just the mercies and grace of God. Would you stand here? Let's sing a song.